You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck. Thank you for joining me this morning. I want to talk this morning about not living small. This is something that I believe many men find themselves dealing with, struggling with from time to time, and or maybe perpetually, consistently, continually, all the time. And I think it is a bigger problem than we might realize, and it's a bigger problem than I think most other men around, most of society might tell you it is. And it is pervasive in our lives. This concept of living small starts early on. It starts when we are kids a lot of times, when we dream of what we want to be someday when we grow up. And eventually, as we grow, and as we hear voices around us from well-meaning people or not well-meaning people, we hear voices around us from society, we pick up new thinking and new mindsets from osmosis, we start to realize that our dreams of what we want to do someday are kind of dumb, and they are not practical. And so we let go of dreams for more practical ones. Gradually, over time, those dreams become less and less audacious, less and less bold, and more socially acceptable and quote-unquote wise. Also, as kids, we might do stupid things that are dangerous, that are wastes of time, technically. And yet they are us being big and bold in our own way. And we get told many times not to do X, Y, and Z. Now, obviously, there's discipline. Obviously, there is behavior that is hurtful and harmful that should be stopped. But also, there many times, I believe, as kids, we behave in ways that were stopped that maybe shouldn't have been. And then you look at, you know, going into middle school, high school, in school, you want to fit in. And I remember thinking back, there was a select few boys my age who walked around carrying themselves confidently and were not afraid to be themselves, kind of, no matter what anybody thought. Most boys that I knew, myself included, were obsessed with what the other kids thought. And so what happened there is instead of being true to who I was, being true to what I believed, being true to what I wanted, speaking up my thoughts, I would tailor myself, my words, my behaviors, my actions, whatever, to match with what I thought was wanted of me and expected of me. It's called people pleasing. It's called fear of man. It's called being Mr. Nice Guy. It's called putting on the persona of the village idiot because I must not know anything about what I think. It's all about what everybody else thinks. And we get like programmed, we habitualize ourselves into this kind of thinking and this kind of behavior. Then you get into high school and you have those dreams that of things that you would like to do or whatever, but then you have all of the pressures of everybody and everything around you saying, well, you've got to do this. You can't go and travel the world after you're done. You've got to go to college. You can't start up a business. You don't know what you're doing. You need a degree. Nobody will hire you without a degree. You can't go to a performing arts school. You have to go to Cambridge or Columbia or Stanford or UCLA. You can't study photography. You can't study film making. You can't study, who knows, copywriting. I don't know. You have to be in medicine. You have to go to law school. Or you can't go walk the streets and pray for people to be healed. That's for 2,000 years ago. That's not for now. That's for the Congo. That's not for America. You can't go tell people about Jesus tonight. You have to study for a math test. You can't talk to your friends about Jesus. They'll think you're an idiot. And you come to today, men, as adults, where we live small still. And a lot of times this living small is due to now what all of these external voices have created now inside of us. And probably the strongest force that keeps us living small are the thoughts in our own head. And whether they're our own thoughts or Satan planting them inside of us, I don't know for sure. All the time, I imagine it's a nice little combination of both. Or we've jumped in bed with the Prince of Darkness, and we have kept ourselves living very tiny. Because God forbid we should actually rise up and live as the sons of God. Because the whole earth waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And if Satan were to just simply sit back and let us live in the fullness of who we were made to be, his defeat would come a lot sooner. So he wants to keep you living small, my friend. What are you going to do about it? How are you living small right now? What does it look like in work? What does it look like? Are you living in a job that you have simply because it is the smart or the wise thing to do? Now, please do not hear me tell you that if you have a job of some kind, that it's the wrong path for you. Or that if you have a job of some kind, that you are not living into your full potential and you need to give it up and just go wing it somewhere. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you might need to. I don't know for sure. I'm just trying to poke at things that stand out. But you might be exactly where God has called you to be. But what if you're not? What if you are in the job that you are in simply because it's the quote-unquote wise thing? Do you have a dream somewhere inside of you that you have thrown water on and you've quenched its fire because now isn't the time? Because it could never work. Because you could never work. You are too ineffectual. You are too powerless. You are too broken to actually live that audaciously. Do you report to a job simply because it's the safe thing? Or do you report to a job because it is what your heart beats for? Because it is a manifestation of the dream that God put inside of you. It is you on your journey into your full kingdom potential. Or are you putting your full kingdom potential on hold because of the needs of the day? There's a parable that most of you probably know. The parable of the sower. It's in Matthew 13. And Jesus says that a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth. And when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds, one out of the four, fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And he goes on to explain it, what the parable meant. And in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13, he says, okay, listen up, guys. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. I'm not saying that this one is you guys right now. I don't think it is. He says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution arises, he falls away. I don't think this is you necessarily either. But listen to this one, verse 22. It says, as for what was sown among the thorns, when this word of the kingdom is sown among thorns, this is like the person who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This could be you. You know the word of the Lord over your life. You know what you are called into. You know that you are called to be a man of strength and power, a man of truth, who stands for what you believe in, who speaks your mind, who loves unconditionally, who loves boldly, recklessly, and even foolishly, without concern for what anybody around you thinks. You go into a room confident because you know who you are. You know that you carry the presence of heaven inside of you. You know that you didn't just accept Jesus to go to heaven. You know that you came to him and gave yourself to him because you wanted, and he wanted, to get heaven inside of you, and that you have the best thing anybody could ask for living inside of you. So you walk into a room in confidence of who you have been made to be. You wake up in the morning in confidence over your dreams and the goals for your life, because you know that you are a man of God who has every bit of authority and ability to do anything. That's who you are meant to be. But over time, the cares of the world, the wisdom, quote unquote, that we live by, that says you can't be that kind of man, you can't pursue that kind of dream. You have to get the normal job. You can't go out and start a creative business. You can't go preach the gospel. You can't spend 2 hours walking the streets praying for healing. You can't speak a word of prophecy over somebody. The cares of the world, they rise up and they choke out who you are meant to be. And the word of the kingdom that has been sown and declared over you, that has made you a new creation, it proves unfruitful. It proves unfruitful. But whatever is sown on good soil This is the man who hears the word and understands it, and he bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. You hear the word. You understand it. You hear the word. Maybe you receive it. Maybe you believe it. Maybe you stop letting all of the thoughts that say, no, not me, no, not me, stop. You stop letting them dictate to you what the truth is, and you hear the word. And you declare that in the face of every single thought that comes against you. What would happen? What would happen, my friend, if you actually started letting your thoughts be influenced more by the incredibly foolish sounding word of God than by all the wisdom that throws itself at your mind every day? Just a question. Would your life look different? Would your life look better? Would you start to become and look like the man that you wish you were right now? What if the key to transforming your life is listening to a different tape recording? What if the key to transforming your life into the man that you want to become, into the man that Jesus says you are, is simply putting your thought life on a different train track? Because what if what you have been thinking has been the wrong one? Like Bill Johnson says, I can't afford to have a single thought in my head that is not in God's head. And you say, well, I can read in the Bible what God thinks about me. For example, the Lord has not given me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. I can read that, and I can speak out with my mouth. Okay, that's true. But it doesn't do jack. I still feel powerless. I still feel afraid. I still feel bitter and angry and selfish. I don't feel love just all of a sudden happening to me. I don't feel like any of the promises of God for me are true. He says, don't worry because I'm going to take care of all of your needs. And yet I worry because my needs aren't getting taken care of unless I do something about it. You say, I can read it all day long and nothing is changing. What then, Matt? It's James, the book of James, that says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. So men, you might have been stuck in living small for a really long time. And it might take more than just a few minutes of thinking differently or of saying, okay, I'm going to think differently, than actually seeing change. So, the recipe, also according to James, is faith plus action. You don't want one without the other. So that means you go to work. You work right now with all of your might to get your thoughts in order. Because your thoughts are the beginning of your life transformation. But you don't stop there, because if you just stop with how you think,
you're still living small, because the true faith comes when you stand up and you say, I don't feel any of this. And you know what? It feels a little bit like bullshit. But I'm going to state to myself, to the angels, to the demons, to the world around me, to the people I love and the people I don't know yet, what kind of man I choose to be. And so I feel afraid, but I am going to act right now on the word that says, hey, test me in this. Give me the first fruits of all of your increase, and I will pour out a blessing on you, and your storehouses will overflow. That's Malachi. So I'm afraid. I don't think we have enough money. I don't think I can make us money enough to get by. That's what I feel. But I'm working on transforming my mind right now. I'm working on choosing to declare and choosing to believe what the Bible actually says over my own circumstance. But to solidify this thing, I am going to give a tithe somewhere. I'm going to give more than a tithe somewhere. I'm going to listen to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give in the face of the voices that tell me not to, and I'm going to live bigger than my fear. Or what if it's just, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I am worth anybody's time. I don't feel like I'm worth investing in myself. But God has told me that I am a co-heir with Christ, that I am a son, a valued son who belongs in his household, and that he has put a ring and a robe and new shoes on me. Even though I don't deserve it, even though I didn't deserve it, he calls me worthy. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to buy myself a new, whatever, $150 button-up shirt and a new pair of shoes because I need to look nice. And I haven't invested in myself in a long time. Action. I don't know what it looks like for you. Or maybe it's the word that says, those who believe, these signs will follow. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Or the works that I do, you're going to do greater ones. That's what Jesus said. And so you might be spending, you know, your mornings dwelling on those truths, but they're not going to do anything until you go out and you say, hey, sick person, I have the breath of life living inside of me. Would you let me put my hand on you and pray for you, because Jesus will heal you? And you go for it and you risk, because Jesus meets you in the risk. Peter stepped out of his boat, walked on water, and Jesus met him in the risk. And yeah, he started to sink, but he didn't drown. He didn't die. Jesus lifted him up again. Take the risk. Do. Be a man of action. Be a man of faith and action. Faith plus action will lead you to transformation, will lead you to stop living small. Thank you for listening this morning, gentlemen. I'm out.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out. Take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.